Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
So I've got Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about what healthy sexuality looks like when a sex addict is in recovery.
One of the things we know about research and sex addicts is that they don't necessarily want sex with their own wife. And so to me, that says he's in really good recovery because he does want that with you. He has been 2 years sober. He has been in three facilities. And I suspect that's how he's wanting closeness with you.
All right. And, you know, that is just one of the ways that a man and a woman who are dealing with sex addiction may see sex in their own relationship. So I don't want you to think that every sex addict does not want sex with their wife. But oftentimes they've trained their brains to want a certain type of sex and they can no longer perform when it comes to the oxytocin, love, absolutely relational sexuality that a man and a woman who are married should have. And so that's why it can be a problem. Now, I am super jazzed today because I have Catherine Etherington on, and she is a certified professional life coach. She's working with individuals impacted by problematic sexual behavior. And she's certified by Impact Coaching Academy, and that is the International Coach Federation. And she's one of us. She is a coach for the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists. She is an APSAT, and APSAT is the organization that sponsors this show. So she has some incredible information to share about Whole Life Recovery Program. It was recently launched by the Naked Truth Project in the UK, although it's available everywhere. And she says it's the next step in support groups as they recognize that people need help bridging the gap from sobriety to recovery. So, Catherine, welcome to the show. I can't wait to hear about this new program that you've launched.
Hi, Carol. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, how did you come up with this brainstorm? And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Whole Life Recovery is kind of a concept as well as just being the name of our program, right? So as a person in recovery myself, as well as the partner of a person in recovery from a sex addiction, what I started to observe in the years that I've spent around recovery communities was just the number of people who weren't, you know, they were getting sober, they were stopping whatever the addictive behavior was, but they weren't really kind of stepping back into the fullest potential that they had for their lives. And it just really made me sad to see so many people kind of feeling like they'd achieved something, which of course, you know, sobriety is a huge achievement, but still being robbed of their full potential in life by not kind of ever moving beyond some of those addictive thinking patterns and other ways that addiction was holding them back in terms of emotional recovery and relational recovery. And so Whole Life Recovery as a concept is really about that. It's about reclaiming, rediscovering, and recovering all aspects of our life, our fullest human potential. And I think that's really what everybody deserves in life. So as well as the name of our program, that's really what we're about. Just not just looking at what we don't want to do and the problematic behaviors that we're trying to escape from, but reaching towards something so much better in life.
Yes, and absolutely. When I'm working with couples or even with singles, whether it be the addict or the betrayed partner, they want those relational skills while they're going through sobriety, and certainly
when they've gotten a certain level of sobriety. So tell us a little bit about when would somebody go and look up Whole Life Recovery? When would they feel it was right for them?
Well, Whole Life Recovery, by the very nature of the concept that I've just explained, it's really not a group for people who are really struggling with their problematic sexual behavior on an ongoing basis. Actually, at Naked Truth Project, we have other programs for that. So we offer a program called Click to Kick, which is kind of a kickstart to recovery, which covers over an eight-week period kind of information and education and tools to gain and achieve and maintain sobriety. So Whole Life Recovery is not that. It's really a kind of a follow-on from other programs. When a man, at the moment we're just working with male groups, but we are waiting to get our female group started as well, because we know problematic sexual behavior isn't just a man's problem, right? And so it's for people who have established sobriety and who are ready to take the next step, hence why we call it the next step in support groups. And we do, Carol, have a particular focus on the relational aspect of recovery, particularly given that I'm a partner specialist also. So I am trained to work with addicts and people who are seeking recovery, but one of my primary specialisms, as you said, is through APSATS, and so I'm a partner specialist first and foremost. And so what we're trying to do for our guys, as they are at the moment, is really just help them to navigate that tricky piece of relational recovery, because I don't know if this is your experience, but often guys that I meet that come to Whole Life Recovery tell me sobriety's not a problem. You know, I've got that. Obviously, they continue to work on that, and we still have support and accountability for that as part of the program. But where they're really struggling is in repairing the damage and kind of supporting their wife through her healing journey as well. So that's a unique and particular focus that we take as part of Whole Life Recovery also.
Absolutely. And so from your point of view, how much sobriety recovery should somebody have to look into the Whole Life Recovery program?
Well, that's an interesting question. We don't have a specific kind of time limit where we'll say we won't talk to you if you're less than 6 months sober, for instance. Mm-hmm. But we do invite everybody who signs up for our program to undertake an intake session so that we get a sense of where they're at, what their sobriety looks like. Are they solid in sobriety? Does that need some continued work? So we like to meet with everybody first and just make sure that they're a good fit for the group. And so I would say we're looking for guys who are feeling pretty solid in their sobriety first and foremost, knowing that that's the absolute foundation on which all of the other stuff is built.
Okay, so they're feeling pretty solid. They'd have to feel that way. And then they would need to meet with you so that you both could determine if they were appropriate.
Right, absolutely. Because also, you know, when you have a group of people working together in that way, when you bring in somebody who maybe is not quite so stable, that can have an impact on the dynamic of the rest of the group as well. So we're pretty careful about making sure that people are ready for group work, first of all, because not everybody is, and secondly, that they're going to be a good fit for the guys already in the program.
Yeah, it sounds like you really thought this out. Now, tell us about your role at Naked Truth Project, because that's kind of the big foundation from which you're launching your Whole Life Recovery program.
Right. Well, Naked Truth Project is a UK-based charity, and our goal as an organization is to open eyes and free lives from the damaging impacts of pornography. And so we do that in those two halves, opening eyes, which is about awareness and education and just starting the conversation in society, in schools, in communities, in churches, you know, just kind of inviting people to, often for the first time, think about pornography and kind of sexual issues. And then the other side of the work that we do is the free lives, which is the recovery and healing stuff. And that's really my role. at Naked Truth Project. So last time I spoke with you on the radio, my job title was Head of Spouse and Partner Development, but since then I've taken over all of the recovery work that we do. So my job title is Head of Recovery, and I look after all of our recovery programs. So we also have a program for partners and spouses, which is our Wholehearted Partner Program. And we do a very similar kind of thing over there with our partners and supporting them with group work and education and various groups to help support their healing. So we're trying really to take a holistic view on this. We know that a pornography issue doesn't just impact the user. We know that there's a much bigger ripple effect there. And so the work we do in schools, the work we do with parents and community groups is complementary to the work that we do in recovery. And my role is just to look after all of that recovery stuff.
Yeah. So you've mentioned that Whole Life Recovery is as much a concept as the name of your program. The concept in and of itself is taking your life another level, a relational and sobriety level. Can you give us some examples of what it would be like if you did fit the program, you were interviewed, you know, you approved this person, what could they expect from your program?
Well, you know, when I think about what are the things that we talk about on a regular basis in group, I would say the headline things that guys are bringing to group sound like, helps me respond to my wife when she's triggered in a way that doesn't make that worse. Like, often guys come along and they're really having a hard time supporting their wife in her pain, because we know that they get into this, what I call the pain shame dance. You know, she's in pain and that makes me feel bad because I can see that I caused that pain. And so often they're really struggling with that dynamic. And so that's a conversation that happens almost every week in our various groups. And so, you know, guys are sharing their own experiences of that. And I think that's a really beautiful thing about the groups that we offer in comparison to something like a 12-step group, is that we have a lot of group discussion, a lot of sharing of different experiences. And so one of the first things that our clients report is that they suddenly realize, gosh, I'm not just the worst husband in the world, because other people who are dealing with similar behaviors to mine are also dealing with these things in their relationships. And that's really helpful for them, just to understand that, you know, that it's not just them. And secondly, to hear from maybe guys who are a little bit further down the road or who have had some success in changing their behaviours. And so they get to draw on the strength and the experiences of everybody in the group. And we have some really rich discussions around things that have been helpful and things that have not been helpful. And I see them learning from each other's successes, but also learning from each other's mistakes and saving each other the necessity to go and make those mistakes for themselves. But a lot, we always do accountability check-ins. So we're asking them to talk about how they've been doing in their sobriety. So those guys who are a little bit younger in their sobriety are getting to hear from the guys who are doing really solid work in that area, what's working for them, what are they doing that's helping them to stay sober, how are they overcoming challenges to their sobriety. And then we also do a relational recovery check-in each time. So they're bringing specific examples of what's going well or not so well in their relational recovery. And one of the key things that I wanted to include, Carol, in our groups was a strong process of what I call partner-sensitive accountability. Now, I don't know if this is true everywhere, but certainly what I was hearing from my partners here in the UK is, you know, he's going to group and if he's really struggling or if he's had a slip or a relapse, he's getting a pat on the back and he's getting kind of picked up and dusted off. But no one's really pressing in terms of should he be sharing that with me? What agreements do we have? And so we wanted to create a really strong sense of partner-sensitive accountability that asks the questions around, what agreements did you have with your wife around these particular behaviors. And we also invite them, if there's been a slip or a relapse, or there's been a significant issue in their relational recovery, when they come to group, before they can talk about anything else, we ask them to complete what we call a relapse report, which is like an autopsy of the relapse. So they take it apart, they answer some questions, and they understand, how did that happen? And what can I learn from that to stop it from happening again? And likewise, we ask them to complete a relational recovery report if there's been significant challenges in their relational recovery, which just asks them some questions. I call it coaching on paper, Carol. You know, it's the questions I would ask them if I was face to face with them, written on some paper. So they come to group, and that's the first thing that they will share as part of our accountability process.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got it so well thought out. Now, this accountability progress report, you know, where they actually are writing things down. Give us an example of something that they might write down.
Okay, sure. So, well, we've got the two reports. So one is a relapse report. So let's say they've had a slip or even a near miss in their sobriety. We'll ask them questions related to what were they experiencing emotionally in the days and leading up to the slip? What were their thought processes? Where we're kind of almost inviting them to tune in to the voice of the addiction, you know, the sort of devil on the shoulder. What is that voice saying to you? Looking out for cognitive distortions. Where was I being lied to by my addiction? What was the permission-giving thoughts that the addiction started to whisper in my ear? So we get really down to how did you get there and what warning signs did you miss? What ways did you fail to cut off your opportunities to act out? You know, so just really helping them to understand the insidious nature of addiction. In a really meaningful way. And then once they've answered all those questions, and there's a ton more, although it's not, you know, a stupidly scary document, we then kind of move on to, okay, so what did we learn? What's the most important stuff that you take from that? And how do you use that to strengthen your recovery going forward? So they don't bring the whole report back to group to share because it would take too much time, but they bring a summary, which is kind of my most important learning, my most important takeaway, and what actions I need to take. And importantly, part of that is what do I need to do to honor my agreements with my wife?
Well, is this something that they end up sharing with their wife at some point?
Some of them definitely do, yeah, absolutely. But I think for us, most importantly, is what agreements have they already made with their wife, and absolutely making sure that they honour those. One of the other kind of documents that we give our guys if they are struggling with sobriety is a kind of I guess you'd call it a script for sharing about struggles in their sobriety with their wife, because we know that blurting out a slip or a relapse can be really traumatic for a wife if that's not thought through. So we don't want our guys going back and saying, hey, yeah, I did have a slip, but you know, you were sleeping, or doing any of that justification or minimization stuff. So if there has been a problem or a struggle with the sobriety, we help them to make sure that they're sharing that in a really sensitive way that owns the learning that they have done, but also that from that relapse report will help them to decide what they're going to do differently. Because it's one thing to say, hey, sorry, you know, I had a slip, but it's another thing to say, I had a slip, I know what happened, here's what I've learned, and here's what I'm going to do to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Well, absolutely, and you and I both know from working with sex addicts that oftentimes when a sex addict is just discovering that he really has a problem, he can't control himself, it is compulsive, we have to help him break the denial. And the denial is the minimization, the rationalization, and justification, all those defense mechanisms that continue to keep him believing that what he's doing isn't wrong. And what I hear you saying is that these guys that are working with you are not in the beginning stages. They've actually had some sobriety, but just like any other addiction, they may go back into some of these defense mechanisms, and that you help them, as does the group, to figure out not only what they're doing, But if their wife wants to know about those things, how to convey that in a partner-sensitive way so that she can feel good as you can, feel good about the insights that he's gaining through the Naked Truth Project or the Whole Life Recovery Program. You work really hard with the guys on that.
Yeah, and likewise with the Relational Recovery Report, what we're trying to help them to understand there is where those responses. So another issue that comes up in group a lot is dishonesty with wife. So, you know, for whatever reason, the guys have been using lying as a defensive mechanism, and sometimes they really struggle with that, and so they lie about crazy, stupid, small, insignificant things. And that would be an example of a kind of behavior that the guys would bring to group and talk about and share that experience. And we would have them do a relational recovery report around that behavior that's causing a problem in the relationship. And we would ask a whole load of similar questions. What feelings is that behavior covering up? What are you trying to avoid by telling lies? And often that's, I'm trying to avoid conflict, which causes me to feel shame, or I'm trying to avoid, you know, hurting my wife, which is really about trying to avoid the consequences of that, which are uncomfortable for me. So just kind of helping to just continuously raise their awareness. Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And once I know why I'm doing it, how can I meet the needs that this behavior is meeting in a healthier and more sustainable way?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And again, your program really seems to spell that out well. Now, you said this is for the UK, so somebody from the United States cannot use the program.
No, our program is available worldwide. We are somewhat limited, Carol, by time zones. And so actually we're working on recruiting providers in other countries so that we can broaden our reach, because the whole program is online, just like our partner program. And so currently the Whole Life Recovery Program runs 3 groups per week. And when you sign up to the program, you have access to all 3 of those groups, and you can come to all 3 or you can come to just 1. And so there's lots of flexibility, because we know a lot of guys are traveling or they're, you know, leading busy lives. And so we've tried to build in some flexibility into the program. So we offer groups in the early morning UK time and in the evening UK time, which for the evening UK times, for instance, are available in the kind of afternoon times in the US time zone. But as we grow, the model is that as we grow and we add more subscribers, we will add more groups. And so we've definitely got an eye on creating groups that are more suitable for the US time zone. And in our partner program, we've just recruited some providers to help us. So we've just recruited a provider down in New Zealand, for instance. And so that's really going to help us expand our reach when we're trying to add groups in time zones that are friendly to other countries. And so if you know, clients are visiting the Naked Truth Project recovery page and they're finding that the groups don't work for them in their time zone, I would say come back later and have another look, because we do plan to continue to add groups that make the work that we're doing accessible, hopefully all around the world.
Well, yes, and just as in today, it's 2:00 here, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Kat, for you, what time?
It's 7 p.m., so there's a 5-hour time difference between us and the Eastern time zone, and when you move that across to the West Coast of America, there's an 8-hour time difference, so it's a significant time difference.
And yet we've got a lot of sex addicts that work night shift, second shift, third shift,
right.
And so really their time zones internally are all very, very different, and this may work beautifully for them if they're just coming home from work at 11 a.m. or, you know, it just depends. So
right. So our Friday night group, which is Friday evening for me at 7:00, runs at 2 p.m. Eastern time, for instance. And what I love about that is it also, when you move around to a country like New Zealand, right now our Friday night group, 7 p.m., is their Saturday morning, 8 a.m., which is a great time for some guys to be in group. You know, we really, in the planning, are trying to strategically place our groups so that they work for as many different people as possible. Now, sadly, you know, the, unless as I run most of the groups myself at the moment, but we are, as I said, sort of, you know, planning to make those available to other providers. And as we do that, we'll open that availability up even more. But some of your time zones in the States would have me up in the middle of the night leading groups. And as much as I love my job, I'm not quite that committed at the moment.
Well, that would be workaholism, and that would be
right.
A whole nother addiction. We don't want you to go there. So now, let me ask you, one, how can people find the Naked Truth Project, and how can they find Whole Life Recovery Program?
Yeah, that's a good question. So all of our recovery programs, our Whole Life Recovery Program and our Wholehearted Partner Program and our Click to Kick groups for people seeking to establish sobriety, all of those can be found on our Naked Truth Recovery website. And the address for that is just www.nakedtruthrecovery.com. And that's got all of the different programs that we offer listed there, as well as our shop, which has some links to various books and pieces of literature that we offer as well.
Okay. And so one more time, very slowly, go over that website address so that people can write it down, put it in their phone, whatever.
Yeah, it's www.nakedtruthrecovery.com.
NakedTruthRecovery.com, because we've been talking about the Naked Truth Project, but the website is NakedTruthRecovery.com. And so, how do people join, obviously? What do they get for their money? And how long are they committed?
That's a good question again. So they can sign up for the program through the website. So when you go to NakedTruthRecovery.com, you'll find the pricing and services page. There's lots of information there, and you can sign up right through the website right there. And then what happens is you'll be asked to pay a one-off fee to cover the cost of an intake session with me, and that's the very first thing that you do. So you schedule a session to meet with me, and at that point you'll be asked to fill out a form which gives me some information ahead of meeting with you so that we can do exactly what we talked about earlier on and just make sure that this is the right program for you and that it's a good fit. The cost of our program runs on a month-by-month subscription, and this is the part that really makes me happy. Because we're a charity, we work really hard to keep our costs affordable, because we know that, sadly, for a lot of people, that just the cost of good quality support prices them out of that, of many programs, in fact. So our subscription for Whole Life Recovery is £40 per month. And I think when you translate that into dollars, that works out to about $53-ish dollars per month. And I think that's really affordable when, in actual fact, you get 3 2-hour support groups per week, if your time zone allows, for that cost, each facilitated by a professional trained in sex addiction and partner trauma.
Well, it's a steal deal. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not even sure if we're allowed to talk money over the air. So we'll stop that right here. But I do want to say that is a steal deal. And Kat, one of the things that men talk about is that they've spent so much money on their addiction that they don't have money left over for rehabilitation. And what I know to be true, and certainly what Patrick Carnes says, is that they found the money for their addiction and they can find it for good group therapy. There's just no doubt about it. So now, does this program provide pretty much everything a person seeking support needs for recovery?
I'm glad that you asked that question, Carol, because that's a really important piece of our kind of vision for Whole Life Recovery, is that we're not trying to replace good quality therapy. We're not trying to replace the 12-step program. We're not trying to replace anything that people already use and make use of as part of their recovery. So I would say that for some of our clients, what they use for their recovery is the Whole Life Recovery Program, and they're in a 12-step program, and they have, you know, work that they do with their sponsor. We have some guys in the program who've done intensive therapy as part of their recovery. We have others who are in long-term therapeutic relationships with counselors and therapists. And so what we're trying to offer through Whole Life Recovery Program is something that's additional and complementary. So when I meet with people for their intake session, I ask them about what other support networks they have and where else they are getting support. Because we know, don't we, Carol, that the root of some addictions is rooted in trauma or abuse. And those are complex topics that don't get fixed in group sessions necessarily. And so we're really careful to make sure that people understand that we're not trying to be the whole deal, but we are offering something that works beautifully alongside their other support systems.
Well, I think you said it perfectly when you called it complementary. It complements what other resources that person is currently using.
Right.
And so obviously this is addict-centric. This is for the addict. Do you have anything for the partners?
We absolutely do. So my work at Naked Truth Project started with the partner program. So the kind of jewel in our crown, if you like, the starting point for everything was our wholehearted partner program, which is very similar in approach to our Whole Life Recovery program, with the focus being on recovery from trauma rather than recovery from addiction. And so equally on the Naked Truth Recovery website, you'll find our wholehearted partner program. And that program is a little bit fuller because we've had much more time to build that. So our partner program includes not only our group sessions, but also monthly educational webinars and additional topic and workbook groups. So lots and lots of stuff going on for partners in our partner program also.
Well, absolutely. And do you see any difference regarding men and women in the UK versus men and women in other areas of the world?
Now, that's a really interesting question. I would say on the whole, no. You know, on the whole, addiction looks pretty similar wherever in the world you find it. I do think there are some subtle kind of cultural differences. One of the things that I notice with the American clients that I work with is there seems to be a much more acceptable culture of reaching out for help and getting support through a counselor in some parts of the U.S., where that really isn't necessarily a thing that we have embraced in Britain. So maybe there's some of that. And of course, we Brits are famous for our stiff upper lip. And certainly, I would say that there are some of us who just find it a little bit more difficult to reach out and ask for help. But we've also seen, particularly in our partner probing, of the most beautiful community of people supporting one another. And they do it so wonderfully that it's really amazing to watch. And so I think, in actual fact, Carol, what we do is kind of break down the stiff upper lip and help people to realize that asking for help doesn't mean that you're a failure. It's not a shameful thing, and that actually is a strength.
Well, 100%. And again, I'm going to quote Patrick Carnes, the father of sexual addiction, the guru. He helped to write the Green Book. He had the addiction himself. And he said in his 30,000 clients that he's worked with over his 70 plus years of professionalism, he has never met anybody who could do it on their own. That in reality, they need a committee. They need complementary services. They can't just do it with a counselor. They can't just do it with a 12-step group. They can't just do it with an online group. They really have to employ a variety of resources. And he says, now I've worked with plenty of people that started out with one, and then they added to their committee, and then they added to their committee. They added reading and fellowship and all sorts of things. But that's the important part. It is building that committee, and that is really what the Naked Truth Project is all about. I mean, it's growing, and there's broader recovery work and vision of the Naked Truth Project, developing as we speak, is there not?
Absolutely, there is. And I don't know if it's part of my own whole life recovery, Carol, but you know, I think when you are an overcomer and you face adversity, you realize I can do hard things. You know, and so much as we're not trying to take over the world, we're equally recognizing that what we have been able to pull together has real value out there for people seeking support, and particularly for whole life recovery, it's community. Week after week, I hear guys saying, you know, actually, what do I need from group today? I just want to get connected. I want to build relationships and connection, which we know is really difficult for people with sexual addiction, particularly. So I love that part of what we do. And so the vision and our team is growing. So yeah, we're probably not going to stop until we have groups available for everybody who needs them. And I know that, you know, Carol, there are so many subgenres of people impacted by problematic sexual behaviors. You know, there are partners whose relationships don't make it, who need to find a community of people who can validate their pain. There are, you know, people maybe who have high profile employment and professions who have an additional need for confidentiality. So there's a whole load of different things in the pot that people need additional support for. So for as long as there are unreached people groups, you know, females dealing with sex and love addiction, then we'll continue to try to reach into those places.
Well, and you and I are both part of the same organization, APSATS, and obviously that stands for the Association of Trauma Partner Specialists. And you're a coach, I'm a coach, I'm a therapist. APSATS is really the premier organization that has given us the skills to vision what people are needing. Tell us a little bit about what APSATS means to you.
Oh, I love APSATS and the work that APSATS do. And I'll tell you this, Carol, when I was going through my own personal trauma from dealing with the sex addiction in my marriage, one of the things that was most valuable to me and remains most valuable to me about APSATS is that it's the only organization that I found that existed just for me as the partner. You know, I read a lot of partner literature and lots of it was kind of giving the impression that I was in some way an add-on to my husband's recovery, that my role was to support him and to make sure that he could get recovered. And when I found out that, then they were talking about empowerment and they, you know, they weren't trying to add me on to his recovery. They were saying, you know, this is just for you. That was so, so meaningful to me. And I just love being part of the community. I love being around like-minded professionals who have the same passion and who are doing such wonderful work. And I found out that to be such a generous community that, you know, people are willing to answer your questions and share resources. And I really, really value that. And I think that's born from the fact that we all share a similar heart for the work of partners, you know. And I think what I've gained, Carol, is a bit of a heart for those underrepresented communities, you know. So partners have been that really long time. But as I just alluded to, you know, we've got whole communities of male partners, for instance, that aren't finding themselves represented in the literature and on the podcast. And we've got female sex and love addicts who likewise feel like all of the resources are aimed at somebody other than them, right? So I think that's another thing that I've gotten from APSATS is just an awareness of those people who are slipping under the radar because they don't meet the norm of the sexually addicted relationship.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And, you know, when you're a partner and you're in a trauma stress response or a trauma state and you've experienced the worst betrayal in the world, there's something really special and comforting about working with professionals who have your back, who understand how you feel, and who are there solely for you. And that's why APSATS is so meaningful. I want to remind our listening audience that if you're looking for an APSATS coach or a clinician, go to APSATS.org and up at the top you'll see find a provider, especially for you. Now, Kat, obviously you're a coach, and you have put this program together with some of your colleagues, and you're the main, the sole, not the sole provider, but you are a primary provider. And I want to ask you, can you delineate for our listening audience, how is a coach different than a clinician, and how have you been able to create this work based on your education as a coach?
Yeah, that's a really important question again, Carol, because, you know, as a coach, I work really hard to make sure that the work that I do is within my ethical framework and within the boundaries of my professional training. So I think that I would say the primary difference between coaching and therapy is that coaching is very much about forward focus. So, you know, coaching will certainly look at things in the past that are impacting your present, but we won't spend a lot of time digging into the family of origin stuff, like what was your relationship with your dad or any of that kind of stuff. We'll be much more focused on where are you now and where is it that you want to be and what's the stuff that we need to do in order to help you to get there. So all of our programs are very forward focused in terms of what are we aiming for, and hence, you know, whole life recovery, what does that look like? And we'll have guys visioning for the future and then working towards that. So sometimes we'll do kind of goal setting exercises, sometimes we're providing tools that help them to move forward. I would say one of the things that I bring as a coach is I'm a very practical person, and coaches are pretty good at providing tools and exercises. And so I'm always just kind of whipping up exercises for the guys in my groups, because they really benefit from having something they can sit down and work through, you know. So we do have on our team some counselors as well, Carol, so I should say that as well. So we work really hard to do our due diligence to make sure that we're not crossing any boundaries, and I do that through regular consultation with clinicians within APSAT, you being one of them, in fact. So you and I have had conversations about how do I make sure that I'm operating within my own professional boundaries, and we make sure that we get regular consultation to make sure that that's happening well, and to consult and make sure that we're offering the right kind of care for our clients.
Yes, we all work very hard to make sure that we pay attention to and follow those boundaries, because let's face it, in this niche, that is the primary problem that partners and addicts experience alike, is that they have broken boundaries. And an addict has broken the most sacred boundary ever, no matter what the sex addiction is. And then sometimes I have to say that I really work hard with partners who put together really important boundaries, but then they don't keep the consequences that they've set if the boundary is broken. And, you know, that's almost, well, that isn't a good boundary. That just doesn't work. So I appreciate the fact that as a coach and as clinicians, we at APSATS are always demonstrating our very best ability to maintain healthy boundaries. It really, really works for the advantage of the clients and for our own integrity. And that's what life's all about, is it's living an integral life.
Right. And one of the other things that I've used when I'm describing coaching to a client, or when I'm describing recovery to our clients in whole life recovery, is I will say to them, you know, sometimes you have to attack a problem from both ends. So coaching will do one end of it, and it will say, okay, what are the actions we need to take in the here and now to move you forward, to overcome that? What are the lies that you're believing about yourself that are holding you back? And sometimes coaching will help move that on beautifully, and sometimes it will be a bit trickier. And so often when coaching has somebody not moving forward, I'll then get interested in, well, what's at the other end? So if we're attacking it at both ends, if we can't get it moving forward from the here and now, it might well be that they have what I sometimes refer to as a bungee cord. You know, there's something that's attached to them that keeps pulling them back into the past. And so that would be the kind of client that we would think about referring out and saying, hey, maybe you need to go and speak with a therapist to find out what it is that keeps pulling you back from the changes that you want to make. So we're really keen on this idea of attacking the addiction at both ends. How do I move forward and how do I let go of the past in order to do that?
Exactly. That's good advice. So now, as we begin to wrap up the show, what haven't I asked you that you would like our listening audience to know, either about the Naked Truth Project, the Whole Life Recovery Program, or any of the other services that you offer?
Yeah, I guess there's two things that I would love to do. One would be to just talk about the rest of our team, because as you quite rightly said, I'm kind of head of recovery, which means that I head up all of our programs, but we do work with an amazing team of providers, and some of them are coaches, and some of them are trained counselors, and some of them are mentors. So we have a really rich team that we're starting to build at Naked Truth Project. So up until now, I've worked most closely with Fran Hopwood, who is the other APSAT-trained recovery coach here in the UK. And Fran and I have been working together in our Wholehearted Partner program for a while. And she brings something quite different to my style. And so I love that our ladies get to come along to group each week and get different perspectives and different areas of expertise. But most recently, we've started to add some additional providers to our team. So I mentioned we have somebody working down in New Zealand, and so I'm really excited that we're bringing Lisa Taylor on board to our team, who is a trained counselor working out of New Zealand, and so she's going to be a great addition to our team. And most recently, we've added a male coach to our team, who is Richard Ealing, and he's a real kind of boon for us, because he's the only APSAT trained male coach in the whole of Europe, as far as I know. You probably know better than I do, but I think it's really wonderful that we can say that we have a whole team who are trained by APSAT and are therefore partner aware and partner sensitive in their approach to working with anybody. So that's our team, and we've also another lady who is coming on board with us too. So we've got a really rich team of people to work with. And the only other thing that I think that we should say is that all of our providers are offering individual sessions as well. So when we've been talking about a topic in group and somebody is, you know, kind of really resonating with that topic or really stuck on that topic, we are also able to offer individual sessions for them to dig deeper into that. So it's worth people knowing that as well, that whether you're in our program or whether you're not in our program, all of our providers are available for individual work as well. And like I said, some of us are coaches, some of us are coaches and mentors, and so they'll have done additional training in mentoring, and some of us are counselors. So as a team, we feel like we've pretty much got you covered.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I am just so impressed with the work you've been doing. It's like it started with a seed, and it is really expanding, and it's taking over the world. So I just want to thank you, Catherine Etherton. You're an amazing woman. You've worked really hard on this. I hope that we have people that will be able to utilize these services, even if they're in the UK. Please go to her website, and again, that is nakedtruthrecovery.com, correct?
That's right. Yeah, www.nakedtruthrecovery.com.
Yes. And keep up the good work. You've got an incredible staff there, I think the most of them. So please keep helping couples and partners and addicts, because we know that this is an epidemic, and we're really all pioneers in the field, and what we're doing today is going to grow into amazing things with the energy of people with passion and recovery.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on to talk about what is effectively kind of a heart cry for me, Carol. So I really appreciate being able to do that.
Coach Kat, we'll talk again soon. You have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. also, I believe you understand, you know, what we're doing worldwide here at APSEPS, that we are really growing clinicians and coaches that want to take this situation and make it affordable and accessible to everybody. And like I said, I don't think we're supposed to be talking money over the air. I'm going to have to double check that. I want to make sure I'm within my legal boundaries. But at the same time, let's just say that was an accident. Let's look at it as a divine, universal situation so that you would know how inexpensive that is. You know, I love 12-step meetings because they are also affordable and they're accessible and, of course, anonymous. And at the same time, this is a step up because you're working with professionals who know how to help you work through the most difficult addiction of all, sex addiction, and, of course, the terrible partner betrayal that occurs as a result. Hey, listen, I'll see you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And we'll see you next week.
For more information, go to APSEPS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.